Coming up next, I'm going to tell you what makes a horrible boss. And then employers are changing their strategy. They're seeking out workers that they passed over before. And of course, we're going to take your calls, and it all starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work so that you can win in life. Let's get to it. So many of you are working for horrible bosses. I mean, it is a major problem. When you hear about toxicity at work or toxic people, that is a result of horrible leadership. Horrible leaders either create in some way a toxic environment or they allow it. So anything that's related to a toxic workplace is ultimately tied to a leader. So many of you are quitting leaders. Many of you have never even worked for a healthy or good leader. And so as the man of the people, I'm here to help you identify what causes a horrible boss. Give you some perspective on this, because some of you, as you move up, you will become a boss. And I don't want you to be horrible. So some of this is, hey, what's going on? What can you do about it? Why is it happening? With maybe it will help you overcome it. Or it will give you permission to leave it, and then it will help you not become it. How about that? This is the value we bring. Let's dive in. Before we get into the teaching on this, I want to give you some examples. These are some texts. I'm going to give you some images here for our listening audience. I'll read these texts to you, but these are texts between bosses, horrible bosses, and employees. And these have shown up on Reddit, social media platform where people, it's like the water cooler, all right? So let's go. We throw the first one up here, okay? So this is a boss texting an employee. Boss, I need you tomorrow. Employee, Saturdays are my days off. I will be with my fiance. Boss replies, I'm short and I need you to come in. Employee replies, okay, how much am I getting? Was he speaking to what am I getting paid? Boss replies, question mark. Employee replies, you're short staffed and you need work tomorrow. We call that expedited. Now, there's a little bit of sass there. The employee's irritated, a little bit of sass on that one. It then goes on. The employee goes on to say, for $39.75, I could be there tomorrow. I'm assuming he's referring to the bump in hourly pay. For $13 an hour, I'll see you on Monday. Whoa. Hello. Now, we don't see a reply there from the boss. But let's be honest. The employee fired a shot across the bow right there. Okay. Cannons loaded. Oh, wow. Hello. What's going on there? All right. Next one. We have a picture of a COVID test, positive COVID test, and then a text from the employee to the boss. Well, I have COVID. Please let me know the protocols. You should definitely get tested. The boss replies, why would you get tested? We just talked about this. You do things on purpose. You know the protocol. Why would you ask me? Uh-oh. Employee replies, I have, in all caps, to test negative to fly to Canada on Thursday, and I'm not going to wait until then to find out if I have to cancel my plane tickets. Yeah, I intentionally got COVID, so I can't go to see my family. Whoa! The boss is literally saying, you tested so you could hopefully show that you're positive so you don't have to come to work. And the employee's like, I'll return that serve. Zing! Across the net. Hey, you dolt. I'm planning to go see my wife or fiance's family is what that I think that was. Why would I do this? Yeah, I intentionally don't want to see my family. All right, next one. Hey, Dan, this is from the boss. Notice I'm not saying leader. Because a leader loves people and has some sense of decency. A boss doesn't. Hey, Dan, Miguel called in, so I'm going to need you to cover his shift, employee. No, thank you. It is my day off and I'm out hunting. See you on Friday. Boss with the power play. I wasn't asking you. See you at 3. Whoa. Employee responds, I don't think you understand. I work 6 days a week for you and have gotten my time off approved months ago. I'm not coming in. Boss responds, one day off is plenty of time. What? I work 7 days a week. I will deny your time off and see you at 3. So now the boss has turned himself into a king with a scepter. Don't you see that in the text? You can just see the haughtiness dripping off of this boss. I will deny your time, or I will send you to the lions. The dude in the hunting stand. I see this dude in the deer stand. That's what I'm picturing. He goes, you can't do that. Boss says, watch me. We will have a chat about your unprofessional behavior when I see you today. If you don't come in then, I will take that time out of your paycheck. You are replaceable. See you at 3. Hunter employee, undeterred, replies, I quit. Since I'm so replaceable, I'm guessing you should have no trouble finding someone to cover for me. Mail me my check. Uh-oh. Here comes the boss with the pucker factor in full effect. Dan, let's talk about this when you come in. Don't rush to quit just because you're upset. You need to be a team player. Be grateful that you don't work like I do and that I allow you to see your family once a week. What? And then this one. Love that. That is as awful as that is, the boss ends it with, we're only as strong as our weakest link. Thank you for the motivational poster on the end of that nonsense. All right. I don't need to break that down. Those are real examples of bosses that are tone deaf. So let's break this down. There are three types of horrible bosses. One is the clone leader. All right, the clone leader, they're simply mimicking the bad, horrible example of leaders that they either have currently above them or they've had in their past. The second type of horrible boss is the hurt leader. They're projecting their internal pain and stress onto you. The third type of horrible boss is the artificial leader. They don't have a freaking clue. They're just faking it. They're leaders in title only. They really don't have a clue what to do. And they're total fakes. Now, here's what I want to encourage you folks with. All of these are examples of stuff you're dealing with. But if you're going to try to make it work, or you're just trying to keep your sanity until you leave these folks, understand this. Just because they're horrible bosses doesn't mean they're horrible people. To the extent, if you can figure out, are they a clone? Are they hurt? Or are they just faking it? They're artificial. That will help you figure out what to do. Don't move. In the news, job vacancies and new options coming up.
Over 280 million people have been affected by data breaches this year alone. The need for cybersecurity is exploding. Cybersecurity jobs will grow 33% in the next decade. To meet this demand, Bethel School of Technology has launched a program in cybersecurity. Bethel School of Tech's online boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training with the highest chances of post-school employment. And they do it at a fraction of the cost in a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Here's my complete and total mission to help you make more money and experience more meaning in your work. Meaningful work, great money. I want you to increase your income and increase the impact that you are making, impact that you long to make. That's what we do. So we are here to help. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. If you want to make a comment or you've got a question, and if you are a viewer and you're watching via YouTube, you can jump in the chat room. We've got a great lively group of people that like to kind of comment or ask questions as we go along. All right. I'm seeing some very exciting trends. And I think some of you need to hear this story today. If you've been overlooked, passed over, it doesn't mean opportunity is dead for you. Let's break it down in the news. All right, headline: with job vacancies high, employers seek out workers they might have previously passed over. Is this a Wall Street Journal? Is that what this is? It looks like Wall Street Journal. Faced with too many job openings and not enough people to fill them, employers are considering candidates that they might have even looked at in the past. Companies are reaching out to applicants with criminal records and disabilities, in some cases college degrees, and related job experience no longer required. This comes from the Boston Globe. At the end of last year, there were nearly 11 million job openings nationwide, but only 6.3 million unemployed people. So huge gap. We've never seen this kind of gap before, where there are way more jobs, almost double the amount of jobs available, but only 6.3 million people unemployed. And that's why we're seeing salaries jump, hourly rates jump, all kinds of enticing signing bonuses, crazy benefits. All of this is good for the worker. But what I'm excited about, for those of you who you've applied before and you got passed over, I got to tell you something. Now's the time. I'd reapply. Maybe, who cares? Maybe they never even saw your resume. Get over yourself. I'd take another shot. I mean, if you've been passed over and you didn't get it, they told you, you didn't even get an interview, I would definitely apply again. If you got in the interview process and they didn't pick you, I'd apply again. You got to the interview process before. I'm just telling you, this gap is making companies actively reach out to people who have some physical disabilities. Great. Fantastic. I hate the word disability. I hate it. It's an awful word. I like differently abled. That's what I like. Looking at people who have a criminal record. I hate that someone who has a criminal record that has done their time, they've paid their debt to society, doesn't get a chance. Now, I think you got to be wise about it. But let me give you an example. Kareem Berry, 33 years of age, had struggled to find a steady job for years before he was hired by Brigham and Women's Hospital in the fall. Here's the backstory. Berry served 32 months in prison for selling drugs. After he got out in 2018, he took a job readiness course at Strive Boston and bounced around temporary and seasonal jobs. When prospective employers found out about his record, a lot of people didn't give him a call back. That's what I'm talking about. You don't have to like the fact that Kareem broke the law. You don't. You don't have to like that he sold drugs at one point. But did Kareem pay his debt to society? The answer is unequivocally, yes, he did. Our legal system put him in jail for 32 months and he got out. How many of you have done something really stupid that you didn't get caught for? How many of you have ever hurt a personal relationship's feelings? Did they forgive you? Did they give you a second chance? What's the difference? But thanks to this company or this program, Strive, they connected him to an apprenticeship program, and it was at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And it was aimed at chronically unemployed Bostonians like Kareem Berry. Now, he started working in materials management, which is, let me just tell you what that is. That's a fancy way of saying he was in the stock room. He was stocking supply rooms with syringes, gloves, gowns, and he got in, did a good job, and then he had an opportunity to go up. You know why? Because good on Brigham and Women's Hospital to say, I'm going to give Kareem a shot. So Kareem came in, did a good job stocking the shelves. Kareem's not selling drugs. He's not hawking drugs in the parking lot. He's doing a good job. So they gave him a chance. And now he's a full-time employee making well above minimum wage with health insurance and a 401k. Now, here's more of the story. Nationwide, there are more than 27 million what they're calling hidden workers who are unemployed or underemployed because they are routinely getting screened out of the hiring process. Could be a multitude of reasons for that. Crappy resumes. They're not doing a good job with, you know, the keywords in a job description on the resume. They just don't know how to do it. They're getting screened out. This is according to 2021 Harvard Business School study. Some of these people have mental health or developmental challenges, physical disabilities or prison records. They're immigrants, caregivers, veterans. Anybody hearing this besides me? This is a list of people that can do good. They ought to have the right to do good. Some of them just need to be led. Some come from disadvantaged backgrounds or lack a college degree. Three quarters of U.S. employers in the study use some type of automated hiring system that rejects candidates whose resumes raise red flags, leaving, and I love this phrase, no room for any kind of narrative, said the study's co-author, Joseph Fuller. Joseph is absolutely right. I understand why companies are using automated software to receive the unbelievable amount of resumes they get. It's about efficiency. But companies, I don't want to hear you moaning and groaning about you can't find good people. That's the biggest bunch of horse crap I've heard in quite some time. There are good people everywhere, and you need to adjust and adapt. Second story. Tech Republic is the headline here, or the journal. Don't want to lose young workers? You need to address the purpose gap. Young professionals desire jobs with purpose, but they remain skeptical that their employers understand that desire or are genuine in their effort to improve the world beyond making a profit. The idea that millennials and Gen Z professionals want to do work that fulfills their sense of purpose is not a new idea. But a new report from Cognizant Center for the Future of Work finds that, as well as a widening gap between what employers are delivering and what young professionals want. Both aspects of professional purpose have to do with values that drive people's choices, actions, and attitudes. And it breaks down further between a wider social and environmental belief set that people are bringing to the office, and then professional and personal objectives. So here's, oh, that's a bunch of fancy words. Let me just tell you what that means. The two big breakdowns around purpose and meaning for these younger generations, millennials and Gen Z, is their view of the world, their values, and then their personal goals. Millennials, we're talking about age 27 to 40, and Generation Z is age 20 to 26, so they're the youngest demographic in the workforce. They want to be excited, passionate about what they do, but they also want a good work-life balance. So they're not as focused on the big global issues as much as, does the company do good locally? Is it putting a good product or service into the world that I can connect to? And do they care about me personally? But 18% of the respondents said they, or only 18% said they're strongly believing in what their day-to-day purpose is in their work life. 24% their employers are genuine about that, desire to help them have a position of meaning. But 46% it's only a half-hearted attempt. So there is a disconnect between leaders and workers about, hey, do I matter to you? Do you care about me, the person, and my future? You got to give people a ladder in this world today. Don't move. Your call's coming up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We're helping you win at work and in life. I want you to really crush it at work from a performance standpoint, but I want you to feel a sense of purpose. I want to see your money grow, that income grow, but I want to see your impact realized day to day. This is how we do meaningful work. quick little jump over to the chat room here on YouTube, because this caught my eye during the break. We were talking about horrible bosses to start the show. DMI3 said, I used to work for a leader who was drunk and arrogant and would call you names and put you down all day long. The owners of the company wouldn't do anything about him because he made so much money. See, this is, again, bullies are allowed to exist because of the fear they put out. And you got to stand up to bullies. And this guy is a drunk bully on top of that. It's awful. Absolutely awful. All right. Let's talk about one of the hottest, most versatile and stable professions now and in the near future. That's project management. It's across all industries. Men and women who can make things go. Project management is one of the fastest growing skills and job lanes in the world. In fact, it's expected to grow by 33% through 2027. That's why I'm super, super pumped to announce, and we've been telling you about this the last week or so, that we are launching our first ever Project Management 101 course right here from Ramsey Solutions. Yours truly will be teaching alongside our Ramsey Chief Technology Officer, Brendan Wojcko, and Brendan leads and hires, and his direct reports hire all of our project managers here at Ramsey Solutions. So this is a very practical course, extremely affordable, and it can help you get in and go up. Spots are limited. Don't wait to apply. Go to RamseySolutions.com/project. RamseySolutions.com/project. All right, to the phones we go. 844-747-2577. Bangor, Maine is where Tony joins us. Tony, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So right now, my job, I just know that it's not what I want to do. I don't know what I do want to do. I thought about a stay-at-home mom, but for a while, for like 5 years or so, but I don't know if it's possible to do that without like totally pausing all of my career progress for 5 years.
Oh, interesting. So we got a couple little issues here. One is you don't know what you want to do, which I don't think that's true. I'm going to take a wild guess that there's something that you think about or wonder about, or two or three things. Is that true or false? I don't mind being wrong.
Occasionally, yeah. And I have read your book, Paycheck to Purpose, mm-hmm. and I tried to come up with things, and it just, I don't know, it wasn't super fruitful. I'm working on proximity principle.
Wait a second. What do you mean it wasn't fruitful? What did you come up with? What would you
said really
you said you've been thinking about a couple things. What are these things?
So I have my MBA and I always wanted to I love medicine. I always wanted to work in hospitals or like with animals in some sort, but in like a administrative role as opposed to a hands-on role. And so I've considered that. I just don't know exactly like what that would be. Currently, I'm a project manager, ironically.
Yeah, good. Which, by the way,
a marketing agency.
You know what I think? Project managers are leaders in training. They're administrators in training. I think project manager is a wonderful platform for you to jump from. So when you say it's not fruitful, you understood talent, passion, mission that I unpack in the book. Yes, you understand it.
Yes.
Where are you getting hung up on it? You're getting hung up, feels like to me, on a super specific job title. Or you're getting hung up on, I know what I want to do, which you just actually beautifully described. One of the things. I just don't think you know how to get there. I think that's the issue.
Yes, possibly.
Well, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't mind being wrong. I'm trying to dig here.
Yeah, I guess I just don't know where to start since most of what I see is like, you have to have like an MD or an RN to kind of even get your foot in the door. And that's not,
wait a second. Is that true? Is that true? You have to have you have to be a doctor or an RN to move into, hospital leadership.
So,
or medical, healthcare companies. I mean, medical. I mean, this is a pretty wide field we're talking about. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm asking you, is that a fact?
So it's not all. A lot of them, yes. It's not all of them.
Okay.
All of the roles.
Okay. So when you say it's not fruitful, what was the other thing? What was the other thing besides leading, being an administration in the healthcare world? What else? Was there another big idea that you've wondered about?
Like in like a nonprofit, like for animals, like kind of
like
humane
running,
society type
like work. Running, yeah. Running a humane society.
Yeah.
Well, I could tell you right yeah. now, you the fact that you got an MBA makes you overqualified to run one of those. I'm serious. Do you agree or disagree with me?
Yeah, I guess I could agree.
Yeah, I think this is fascinating. All right, so let's pause this discussion. I'm not sure what I want to do, which isn't true. You do know what you want to do. You just don't know how to get there. But let's dive into the other issue. You want to be a stay-at-home mom for a season, and it feels like the season is either now or coming soon. True or false?
True, yeah. We have a 10-month-old.
And you want to come home and be a full-time mama for a while?
Yes.
But you're afraid to because you think that you're going to have a 5, 6, 7, 8-year gap, and when you're done with being a full-time mom and you're ready to come back, you think no one's going to want you.
Right. Or like
well, that's
everyone
total
else
garbage.
Will have made all this progress. Oh, and I'll still be where I am now.
No, you'll be where you are then. You listen, you can have it all, but not all at the same time. I want you to process that. I try to encourage moms on this all the time. Ladies, you can have it all, but not all at the same time. It's a little frustrating, but let's be honest. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? No, listen, you can have a professional career. You can crush it. And you can be a stay-at-home mom. But you cannot do both at the same time. Do you understand right. that?
Yes.
You have to be okay with that. I think the person that's holding all this up is actually you. I think you're in your head going, I want to have them both, but the narrative in your head is you can't have them both. The reality is you can have both, but you cannot have both at the same time. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you want to go home now, go home now and be with that little 10-month-old and any other little munchkins that come along and have some fun being a mama and doing what I think is the most important thing in the world. And then when the time comes that you want to go back, you can ease your way into it, but you will be able to be qualified. In fact, as things change and grow while you're being a stay-at-home mama, you could be getting qualified and be fully ready to go and step right into something. In fact, I don't think you're going to fall behind at all. That's what I believe. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You've already got an MBA. You got a bachelor's degree. So you got all that. What really matters is qualifications and connections. And if you got to start out coming in at a mid-level management role in a hospital, great. You may not have the RN or the MD behind your name, but if you start rocking it and you're a ninja leader, they're going to go, hey, let's move you up. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Now, Tony, I want you to tell me what your heart wants you to do. What is your heart telling you to do today?
Oh, probably the hospital track.
Yeah, and then what's your heart telling you to do personally?
Stay-at-home mom for now.
Then do it. Then do it. And you know what? As baby gets a little bit older, start volunteering. Maybe pick up a part-time job in an administrative office at the hospital. You're building relationships. You're getting some experience. You're getting to see, I'm inside. I'm behind the curtain. I can see what could be. That's my advice to you. There's a way. You know the old phrase my grandmother used to say, where there's a will, there's a way. Golly, it's true. You just got to figure it out. Don't accept that there's limits. Don't move. More of your calls and other stuff coming up. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Ken Colbert Show. So thrilled to have you with us. We're helping you win in life. Because you're winning at work. You think about how much time you spend at work in your lifetime, and if it's just okay, or if it's awful, meaningless, That all has an impact on your personal life. I want you to make the money you desire, but I also want you to experience meaning. And here's my whole proposition. They don't have to be separate. Money and meaning don't have to be separate. Income and impact don't have to be separate. They ought to be together. This is purpose. This is contribution. This is doing the work you were created to do. Come on. The world needs it, which means you got to do it. 844-747-2577. David joins us in Fort Mill, South Carolina. David, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Big fan. How you doing?
Thank you, sir. I'm doing really well, living the dream. What are you doing?
Good. Glad to hear it. I'm doing well.
Good.
So my question is, I'm a software developer, and I recently accepted a job about 6 months ago. And every week I get one, two recruiters reaching out with job opportunities. And usually I turn them down, but every now and then, a company or something piques my interest. Is it wrong for me to entertain those opportunities? Especially?
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to hang up on you, but why do you think it's wrong? Why do you think it's wrong to listen to these recruiters?
One, I feel guilty with my current employer because I don't want to be hopping around. And if there is an opportunity, you know, leaving them in a bad situation when they're just getting me ramped up and all. And then secondly, I usually, if I go through with an interview, I'm talking to a recruiter, sometimes I'll just throw out a super high salary just to see what's out there. Software development in a competitive field, and,
yes,
and you know, it's a wide range. So even just throwing it out and saying, okay, unless it's this, you know, higher salary than what I'm making, you know, I probably wouldn't be interested. Is that just leading them on? Is there anything wrong with that?
You are the nicest guy that I think I've ever talked to in my entire life. You're such a classy dude. You need to chill out. You're so classy. You're actually letting it cloud your judgment. Now that's a compliment. Okay, David,
yeah, okay.
I'm not picking on you. I'm just shooting you straight. I'm your coach right now. All right, now let's break down your causes for guilt. Well, Ken, if I get a better offer and I take it, I've only been with this company I'm with now for 6 months. They just ramped me up, and I'm going to leave them in a bad place. Are you? I mean, would they survive without you?
Yeah, they would survive. I think it's more the connections I'm building with them. And
I know. Hold on. I know. Because you're a really classy dude. But if you get a great opportunity that is on purpose, now you know I'm not going to tell you to just take it if it's a bigger paycheck. Because that wears off. If you're new to the show, folks, let me say this very clearly to you because I'm telling David. Do not take a job and a promotion just for the paycheck because for a while that will feel good. It looks good in your bank account and it feels good to be wanted, to be flirted with, to be proposed to. Yes, it's like, whee, we're dating again. Yay. But that wears off. It wears off. And then you're going, why did I take this gig? It's not a good culture. It's not on purpose for me. I'm not in my sweet spot where I'm spending 75% of my day using what I do best to do work I love to produce results that matter. So, David, my answer is these need to be on purpose. But if a recruiter comes to you, you should listen to every conversation. But what you're listening for is this an opportunity to stay in my sweet spot or to step into my sweet spot on a rung of the ladder that leads me to my dream job? That's the first question. And if it comes with better pay, great. Then I'd take it. Are you a sports fan?
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite football team?
So the name now is Commanders. It was the football team. And
right. Okay. Let me ask you a question. How quickly do fans get over a coach leaving them? You get a coach, he's hot, he comes in, does a great job, and then he leaves. How mad do fans get about that?
Mad for a short time.
But do you sit down and go, that was illegal, that was unethical?
No,
you don't say that. You go, look, I got a better opportunity, and he took it. There's nothing to be guilty about. Guilt is connected to wrongdoing, my man. You're one of the classiest dudes I've ever talked to. You're not doing anything wrong. Listen to them, then make the decision. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Yes, helping you get unstuck and giving you some momentum to move forward in your work and in your life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, our last caller was David, and David was feeling some guilt because he's a developer and he's getting calls from recruiters. They're flirting with him, sending him Valentine's with chocolate in it. And he's going, should I be listening to these people? What does the chat room have to say on YouTube? I like Crypto's chain. He said, hey, that's how I jump from a higher and higher salary, by listening to what recruiters have to offer. I think it's a good idea for David to do that if he's not completely happy or he's not earning what he wants to earn. I like this idea. Yeah. What's wrong with listening? By the way, if you use what I teach here with any job offer, you go, does it allow me to spend 75% of my day doing work that I'm really good at? Listen, folks, doing work that I really enjoy and doing work that is producing results that I connect to with my values, then absolutely it's a no-brainer to consider making that move. Now, the other thing is what if this is a job that moves me higher up the ladder? It's not fully in my sweet spot. I'm not spending that 75% ratio there, but it is moving me up the ladder, getting me closer to the sweet spot. Again, no brainer. Let's go, let's go, let's go. So, hey, we're going to be doing in our bonus session for our viewing audience only. We're going to be in the chat room answering questions. So if you've got a question you really want me to focus on, you got a comment you want me to weigh in on, by the way, you can ask fun questions too. In our bonus session for our viewers only, if you want to ask me a personal question, doesn't mean I'm going to answer it, but you can ask. All right, we do that on Instagram too. So if you want to do it, great. It's a fun kind of Wild Wild West session as our bonus segment. So that's coming up. All right, back to the phones we go. Ethan joins us in Lexington, South Carolina. Ethan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
I'm living the dream. What's going on with you?
I guess the best way to put it is I just don't know what to do with my life.
You don't know what to do with your life? Well,
yeah.
All right. How old are you, Ethan?
I'm 22.
22. Let me ask you a question. I want to talk to young Ethan. Can you take me into the Wayback Machine for a minute if I take you there? You go with me? Okay. What did young Ethan, I don't care if he was 10, 8, 12, 16, 18, maybe 21-year-old. I don't even care. What are one or two or three ideas that you've wondered about in your life? You spent a lot of time wondering, what would it be like if I did this?
Oh, man.
Come on. There we go. There we go.
I mean, I remember in middle school, I wanted to be a chef, but I'm not really sure why.
I don't want you pontificating. I want you just telling me the ideas. I'm going to lead you through this. All right. What else? Okay. That's a good one. Chef. What else?
I don't know. I wanted to do stuff with sports.
What?
Because I love playing sports, but I don't really like watching sports.
Okay. But what would you want to do in sports? Give me an idea. We're just playing with ideas here. What's an idea? Was it an executive? Man. Was it an agent? Was it a coach? Tell me.
I mean, I really just like playing sports, but I mean, that seems a All little right. unrealistic.
All right. Well, yeah. Yeah. Let's move on. What else? What else?
I don't know. I've never really... Like, had stuff like that in mind.
That's not true. You've wondered about stuff. In the last 30 days, you've wondered about stuff. In fact, I would suggest to you, you got a couple ideas. You're a little bit, you're shaky on them. You're a little not confident because you thought about it when you called me. You didn't call me today to say, Ken, help me figure out what to do with my life without an idea or two beyond being a chef. True or false?
Yeah, that's true.
I knew that, Ethan. So why don't you just say it? Because I'm not going to make fun of you.
What is it?
Tell me.
I don't know. I've thought about being a personal trainer at some point.
Personal trainer. What else? Anything else? Come on, dude. You just admitted you had ideas and you're shaky about them. Tell me, and I'm going to help you figure out if they're good ideas. Say it.
I like working with dogs, but I don't really know.
You're not allowed to say, I don't know. I know you don't know. I want you to tell me what you've thought about and wondered about. Dog trainer? Is that what it is?
I've thought about that, yeah.
Okay. All right. This is very interesting. Now, Ethan, here's the deal. I'm going to give you a couple of tools so you don't have to unpack all this on this call. Okay. I'm going to give you a couple of tools in a minute that's really going to help you deep dive. But here's what I want you to see. Do you see a theme running between a chef, a personal trainer, and a dog trainer? Do you see a theme there? I do. What do you see?
I hear trainer in two of those.
I hear trainer in two of them. But what I see with the chef and the personal trainer and the dog trainer is I see a guy who likes to creatively solve problems. You're a creative thinker, and the problems you tend to like to solve are in creating something that doesn't exist, right? Or instructing in some way to take somebody from where they were to where they want to be. Is that true?
Yeah, I really love problem solving.
Tell me the problems you most love to solve. Now we're getting somewhere. Come on, just say it. Don't think. Say it. What kind of problems do you love to solve? You're thinking. You're editing. Don't edit. When someone pauses like that on the show, they are processing thoughts. I don't want you to process. I want you to speak. What problems would you get excited about solving if I said, I'm going to pay you $50 an hour every day next week, Ethan, to solve problems? Only thing I need from you is what kind of problems are you solving? What are they? Go, say it.
I really like solving problems for other people.
Yeah, people problems. You like solving people problems. You see that?
Yeah.
Tell me a problem for a person that you would love to solve today. Say it. Who are the people? What are they struggling with? Say it.
I got no clue.
Yeah, you do. That's not true. You already gave us a clue. You would like to solve people's physical problems. True or false? Physical trainer, personal trainer, helping people with weight, exercise, nutrition. True or false?
Yeah, I can see that.
Health problems. Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, I got a dog. He's chewing up my couch. Ethan, help! What kind of problem is that? Is that a people problem? Yeah.
I guess so.
I got an ornery puppy. I need some help. Ethan, you're thinking too hard. All right, now let me just tell you something. Here's the process. How long you been listening or watching my show?
No, man. A couple of years.
Couple years. Oh, you're an old guy as it relates to this show. Talent, passion, and mission. Am I right, Ethan?
Yeah.
Ethan, does it make sense to you that when you are using what you do best to do work that lights you up, that produces results that light you up, that you're on purpose? Does that make sense, Ethan?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, my man. All right, now here's what I'm going to give you. So Jenna's going to pick up. I'm going to give you my Get Clear Career Assessment. It's a 20-minute assessment. It's going to give you a detailed report on what you do best, your top talents. It's going to give you a detailed report on what work you love to do, passion. And it's going to give you a detailed report on the mission results that you want to produce in the world. And it's going to put it in a purpose statement for you. And then I want you to read that purpose statement and go, all right, now, how would I turn that into a job description? And I want you to look for that. We've already got the clues. You want to help solve people problems. So the three questions you need to answer with your purpose statement is, who are the people I most want to help? What's the problem they have that I want to solve? And then what's the solution to their problem that I want to bring? Do you understand those questions, young man?
Yeah, I do.
Come on, man. Go get yourself some answers. And then get some people in your life that know you really well, that love you enough to tell you the truth, and make sure you're not delusional. But I don't think your purpose statement is going to be delusional. Now, Jenna, one other thing. Giving my book, From Paycheck to Purpose, the assessment is like your compass. It shows you this is the mountain you need to climb. And then the book, From Paycheck to Purpose, is the 7 stages to making it become a reality where you're making great income and great impact. So we'll give you both of those. And then, Jenna, if he wants to reschedule a call next week, we'll have him back on and we'll talk through the purpose statement. We'll help this young man out. That's what we do here. That's what we do. By the way, ZipRecruiter can help a lot of you. With one click of a button, you can unlock your car, watch a movie, and call your best friend, pay your bills. And now, with one click, you can find a job that takes you from paycheck to purpose. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Let them work for you. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Hey, to our viewing audience, hang on. To our listening audience, thank you for joining us. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruze.com.